Valuetown is a production of ChamMV TV. Find out all show information and details at chamMV.tv. Valuetown is directly supported by listeners like yourself via patreon.com/valuetown. What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 125 of Valuetown. I'm ChamMV, and joined today, of course, by Allie and Jackie. What's up, guys?
Hello.
Hey. Hello. How are we doing?
Doing good, man.
Doing well.
Definitely good. Doing well. So how's your week been? Anything crazy happened so far? First couple days?
Well, I've been kind of memeing around, but today I like race to legend with this priest deck that we'll talk about
race
in a bit.
To legend.
But yeah, like I've been like stuck at like rank 5 for like ages, just like memeing around, but then I just couldn't lose with this priest deck. It was great.
It's like you were trying to lose or something and you weren't.
Yeah. Well, normally I am, but
no, that's amazing. We could all use one of those decks, or I could definitely use one of those decks to try right now. Allie, how about you? How's your week been?
Yeah, it's going well. I also sort of have been memeing around with Priest, kind of. But actually today I played a mid-range kind of Paladin deck that went really well for me. So I think we're going to stick with that. But yeah, you know, it's good. I like memeing, but yeah. I also like it in Legend. So it's finding the balance between the two.
It's funny, like, where people decide to meme. They either meme in the very beginning when they're low rank, or they meme like when they get to rank 15, or when they get to rank 10, and when they get to rank 5, and then they get to legend,
and then they
meme again. So thanks, Blizzard, for giving us more opportunities to meme throughout the season. Right?
Yeah, rank 4 is a fantastic man.
Yeah, for sure.
A great addition. You're like, I can have a break from Pyre Warrior now.
That's right.
Just play Renounce Darkness.
Oh, yes. I can finally play Time Walk Mage for one game, or something like that.
You cannot drop below this rank. Oh, I love that.
Thanks.
Message.
Exactly.
But yeah, so anyways, guys, we got a lot to talk about today. For those of you tuning in, maybe for the first time, never heard of Valuetown, we are a Hearthstone podcast where we talk about anything and everything that has to do with Hearthstone, including decks and cards and the community and whatever's going on. We'll definitely be talking about it. And today we've got we got the priest deck that Jackie talked about, and then we were going to be doing like a mini mage spotlight. So we'll talk about a couple decks as well as a couple cards that might be underrated. Then we got some community news, just some funny things happening in the community and that's worth a talk, and then even a couple events too that just finished, or at least one big event that finished. And then Mechatork's Workshop's back, guys. I know a lot of you've been waiting for it, so we've got a few cards to talk about today, some from you guys or some of the patrons, as well as I know Allie has one, and then actually Jackie made one too, and I made a couple, so we've got a little flavor from all
Exciting.
Of us. Exactly. And then we've got some questions from, or email questions from some of you guys, and you can email those at valuetown@chamv.tv if you want us to read them out next week. But yeah, let's just talk about, I guess we kind of already talked about our week, but anything else happened, like just this weekend or anything in terms of Hearthstone?
I mean, we said we were going to talk about Mage a little bit later. I've still been playing a lot of my control. Well, it's actually not mine, but a control Mage with Elise and stuff like that. So that's pretty much what I've been up to. I've been having a good time with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've also been supporting our teammate Control the Board
in
the recent Wild tournament that's going on. And he's managed to make it to the top 8. So that's really exciting.
Enjoying
supporting him.
Definitely awesome. Yeah, the Wild tournaments was going on all three regions. So I was trying to catch a little bit of. Actually, I had to watch the VODs because I did a Tavern Hero this past weekend. So that was a lot of fun on Sunday, and I ended up playing in it. Like, they made me play in it. So it worked out because we have three. It was myself and two others that were organizing it. So it was like this couple, and Sarah decided that you know, it was totally cool if she adminned it and, you know, was the official organizer of the Tavern Hero so that me and Shane could play in it. So that's what we ended up doing. So I just like threw together, I did like a control warrior, a control priest, and then that shaman, one of the shamans that you brought, or you talked about last week, Jackie. And actually, it was my dragon warrior I talked about too. And then I used a priest.
Yeah.
We ended up playing it. Ended up getting third. I like ended up losing 3-2 to.
It's not bad.
Yeah, yeah. Ended up losing 3-2 to the person that ended up finished second. And it was one of those things where if I would have beaten him, then I would have had a great matchup against Shane. It was my co-organizer that ended up winning the thing. So that would have been suspicious. I think I might have been on the front of Reddit. Yeah, that would have been really, really bad.
Would you have felt bad if you had won, though?
I actually would have felt bad. Because I didn't want to play. And then some of those guys are like, oh, you know, you talked about it on your show. It'd be awesome to have you play and stuff. I'm like, all right, I'll play. And then that competitive side of me kind of took over where I just can't, like, give up wins.
Wipe them all out.
I just can't give up wins. Yeah, so anyway.
What kind of decks do people bring? I'm actually kind of curious.
You know, the 5 minutes that I took to find my lineup, I was just like, okay, I'm just going to beat aggro, and I'm going to be and match up well against mage, right? So my three decks did that, which ended up working out really well because a lot of people played shaman or a lot of people played druid, aggro druid,
okay,
and mage, and then I ran into a lot of shaman, so those matchups were actually a lot of fun. Thankfully, I didn't hit any quest rogue. The guy who beat me, he beat me twice, and he was double elimination. He had a quest rogue with Onyxia too, and I'm a freaking priest.
I wanted to try that.
Oh, that was brutal. I was like, oh, wow. Dragonfire. It was one of those things where it's like, oh, yeah, Onyxia. True. Why the heck is he playing Onyxia? And then he throws Onyxia down. It's like, I have a Dragonfire potion. And then you realize, that's why. Yeah. So that was kind of brutal. But it ended up coming down to Hunter versus Priest in the end. And I just didn't draw very well. But yeah, for the most part, it was those decks. Nothing too unsimilar to what we see on ladder. But the funniest moment during the fireside was we did the Hot Wings challenge, right? And we were going to do one at a time, like each hour, but we ended up being like everybody did it at the same time. So we had three people that volunteered to do it. They had to sign the waiver, you know, all that good stuff. And
crazy.
The way it works is they make it for you, right, on demand. So whenever, you know, you request to do it, they literally put it in the fryer, you know, and make it, right?
Yeah.
And so they come out and it's like this police light, you know, like this rotating police light that's on, you know, this tray, and they come out with the 10 hot wings each. So we had two guys, and then Sarah, who's one of the co-organizers, was one of the people that did it. And so they start eating it, and Sarah's just like eating it like nothing. It's not even fake. She's like, oh yeah, there's like so much fat on this thing. It's you know, like, and we're like, okay. And the guys are like, oh man, like what I get myself into. Like after like one, they were like that already. And one of them in particular, I had to dab him. Like he was crying. His eyes were literally, tears were coming down his eyes. So I was like dabbing his face with a napkin, you know, and just trying to keep him. And then his nose started running. And I was like, nah, dude. No, I'm not touching
you're
the nose.
Glad that you didn't do it.
Yes, I'm not touching the nose. So you're gonna have to wipe your nose. But yeah, you're not allowed to drink anything. Like they do bring out milk and stuff for you afterwards, but you can't do it during the thing. Yeah.
How many do you have to eat?
Hard.
10 in 6 minutes.
Oh, 10.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So Sarah ate 7, and she mostly had an issue with just eating in 6 minutes. You know, eating 10 in 6 minutes. So it was not the hotness at all.
That's quite a lot,
yeah,
honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
the guys did 2 and 3, I think. Both of them only 2 or 3.
Oh my gosh.
So no one completed it.
She crushed them. No, nobody completed it. You have to have strategy, man. You really do.
Strategy.
You do. It's not easy eating. I mean, you'd have to like, you know, be messy, like totally messy eating that thing. Anyways, it was a lot of fun.
Preparation.
Definitely a lot of fun. I think next time we'll do it on a Saturday so that we'll have even more people. But good stuff. Buffalo Wild Wings, you know, they took care of us too. They gave us these two bundles of things to give away to people, as well as three boxes of 3 of their sauces to give away too. So, yeah, they were awesome to us.
Nice.
All right. Well, why don't we jump into some decks? Get talking about decks, yeah.
Let's do it.
All right. We were going to talk about your priest deck first. this 24 and 5 deck, right?
Yeah.
Talk to us about this. All right, here he is.
So I've been playing like Tempo Priest a lot, like since the start of the expansion, loads and loads. But more recently, I haven't been doing it as well with it. And so I kind of changed a few things up and like took out a lot of the reactive stuff, like Shadowed Pain and Potion of Madness and Orcni, and replaced it with like a couple more 3-drops. So you got the Blade Masters and the Tar Creepers, but then also Light Warden as well. And I don't know why, but it just started doing really well. Like Light Warden isn't actually that bad. It's kind of like a Tunnel Trog or Mana Worm that's easier to kill, but can just OTK someone sometimes. Like it's actually pretty good, and it's more about just reliably having a minion on turn one. Like, because if you go first and you don't have cleric on turn one, you're just playing from behind, and in a deck that needs to be ahead on the board.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I was just crushing the whole ladder with it.
If you get the Light Warden with a Power Word Shield too, there's very, very few things that are going to kill it right on turn one. So
that's true,
I can totally
actually
see that.
see it spiraling out of control.
That's really cool.
I think it's kind of weak to like the heavy control stuff. So things like Shaman, where they have like devolves and hexes, you get kind of screwed, and like Quest Warrior. But it's pretty good against a lot of the aggro and mid rangey things. Pretty good against Mage, good against aggro Druid. So it was just really doing well against what everyone else was playing.
And just to do a quick rundown, it's like 16 total cards. So it's double Circles, double Binding Heal, double Inner Fire, double Light Warden, double Northshire Cleric, double Power Word Shield, double Divine Spirit, double Radiant Elemental, double Shadow Visions, double Wild Pyro, one Acolyte of Pain. That's interesting. Double Injured Blade Master, double Cabal Talon Priest, double Tar Creeper, double Priest of the Feast, and of course Lyra, right, to finish it off.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so...
I mean, the Acolytes in there, because I was originally playing Acolytes, but then I kind of had to cut them to fit in the Binding Heal, Binding Heals and Light Wardens, and I didn't know what else to cut other than Acolyte. I think everything else is kind of important. Acolyte's not really that important.
So, go ahead, Nally.
I was going to say, obviously the idea is to like get ahead on board, but do you ever find that you're just like struggling so much? Because there's not really like AoE. I mean, I guess there's pyromancers in it. Do you get away with AoE just by using the pyromancers?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, I guess the idea of it is to like get ahead so that you don't need AoE.
Mm-hmm,
so, like we're trying to... It's almost like an aggro priest.
Yeah, it totally is.
That's what it feels like,
Like get on the board as quick as you can and buff your minions as quick as you can and just kill them. And I think the more you go towards that style and like the less reactive cards you have and the more aggressive cards you have, I think the better it actually is.
Mm-hmm. I guess you can always use Lyra to like fish, you know, for stuff, I guess, later in the game.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You can get removal with Lyra, right?
Yeah.
Like if you need a Nova or something like that. Yeah, I think that's a really good exercise generally. I think a lot of people are always hedging, you know, with things like Hex or, you know, like that Shaman deck that we talked about last week, right? That didn't have any removal in it outside of like one Maelstrom or maybe two Maelstroms. But, you know, building aggro decks that literally have no removal is sometimes really good. You know, like you just understand it better, right? Your draws are better. Like your consistency is better.
Because it's like cards like Potion of Madness, which is so good, but they're very... like polarized. Either they're really good and you get like a really good Potion of Madness, or they're just useless sitting in your hand doing nothing. And in a deck that's trying to be aggressive, I don't think you really want these cards that are sitting in your hand. Like, I'm not saying Potion of Madness is a bad card. Like, Potion of Madness is great, but I actually did better without it in the deck. And a lot of the games I was losing before I switched to this deck, I would just have a hand of Shadowed Pains and Potion of Madnesses when I wanted to try and be aggressive.
Gosh, I'm excited to try this. Yeah, I haven't tried it yet, but it looks like a lot of fun, honestly.
So Binding Heal, is Binding Heal purely for Mage, or is there a different thing for it?
It's great. It's fantastic with Cleric, with Blade, especially with Injured Blade Master. Many times you get like Cleric on one, Radiant Elemental on turn two, and then Blade Master Binding Heal on turn three, and that's like really good. It's just a great card for tempo. Obviously, it's very good against Mage as well. But I didn't like Binding Heel when I first saw the card, but the more I've played it, the more I like it.
Yeah. It seems to always be just what you need. You know, it's like, you know, your Priest of the Feast is about to die or something and you heal it, or even Lyra, right? Just healing whatever just to get 5 health to your hero and just cycling, and it's like amazing.
Just having those cheap spells too when Lyra comes around is like super, super nice.
Yeah, for sure.
What was your, I don't know if you remember, but did you have like a really crazy Light Warden just like smack him in the face?
Yeah, I had one that got like 19
Oh, yeah.
God, I had one game where I was like, I had two Light Wardens protected by a Tar Creeper, and they were both like 9-2 and like an 11-2, and my opponent just conceded. Like,
That's like the Pyro Circle of Healing Dreams, right?
Yeah.
You get those crazy. Crazy
Jack,
chance.
You're gonna break the meta here.
I know.
Maybe. Exactly. Who knows?
As long as you don't post it on Reddit, or as long as you don't stream it, you're good.
No, I was streaming it all day, so maybe if I allow it tomorrow, who knows?
Oh man, I was gonna say, do you think that this deck is like, because it doesn't run like deaths and pains and Dragonfire potions? Do you think eventually, if people knew the list, it would be much easier to play against, like the win rate wouldn't be as good? Like, it's possible, but it also just seems like it doesn't matter. Like, if it just spirals out of control, it'll just spiral out of control. There's not much people can do.
A little bit, yeah. I think, I mean, as soon as you know it, like any deck, I think it's like when you know how to play around something, I think it's like the matchup will go down. So like when people know the list, and if it ever did become common, like the win rate would become less, I think.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
I think it is very good at getting on the board early. And when you're on, like, as soon as you've got something that's stuck on the board, you're in a great position to go and win the game, because you can just take advantages of it so easily with, like, all the heals and all the cheap tempo cards. But,
yeah. And you have the Divine Spirit Inner Fire Burst. So what's the, on average, what health total did you take them down from on average?
I have no idea. I killed someone from 32 health. There was a mage that had like, you'd use Ice Fire on 32 and just smacked him for like 40 damage.
Nice. All right, yeah.
Like popping ice block at 32 health. I know, it was very weird.
Yeah, definitely try this. Try this deck out, guys. And Shadow Vision obviously can give you even multiples of Divine Spirit and in Air Fire too. That's so true. That could be really nice.
Love Shadow Visions as a card.
Shadow Vision, I mean, it was one of my top 5 cards when we were doing the top 5 show, and it's still it. I think it's just so beautifully designed, and it's such a contrast to Primordial Glyph. You know, we talked about it last week. It's they're the similar cards, and one's designed perfectly, and the other one is not. Yeah. You know,
Crazy. I think that's why I like Priest so much right now, is because of that card. Like, you can do some crazy things with it.
Cool. Okay, well, you know, we're talking about Priest just because Jackie had this amazing run with it, but the plan was to talk about Mage and to talk about just some Mage decks, and, you know, maybe just have a quick discussion about, you know, why Mage is good, or maybe some underrated cards and things like that. So we have a Kazakus Mage that was it Jackie or was it?
This is my deck again.
We'll just go to Jackie first. So Kazakus Mage, yes, with no healing, right? Except for Alex.
Yeah, I mean, that's the problem. It's kind of, because a lot of people have been playing like the Gunther style mage, and it's very definitely one of the strongest decks right now.
Yeah.
But sometimes you can get like a lot of people have started running weapon removal, and Medivh is, you super reliant on Medivh to win control matchups with the Gunther mage, I feel. So if they destroy your weapon, then you just kind of screwed. So I'll try Kazakus, and it was actually pretty good. Like, Kazakus is a way of getting heal, because obviously you can get the armor. 5 mana, you can get like 7 armor. 10 mana, you can get 10 armor, I think it is. And Kazakus is just broken. Like, it's really, really good. A lot of the Gunther mages only, like, they run a lot of one ofs anyway. Like, they run like one Meteor, one Polymorph, one like a Valkoria. So it's not that different. The only thing you're missing out on is obviously the Mana Worms and the Archonologists. Having 2 of each of them is really, really good. But Kazakus is just, Kazakus is great. And this deck's been doing pretty well on ladder for me.
I like the Harrison Jones in it too.
What are you finding yourself using? Really, what do you find yourself using a lot from Kazakus? Is it the Resurrects, or is it the card draws, or what exactly from Kazakus?
I mean, a lot of the time it's the deal. The armor has been
yeah,
very good.
I can
see of the lack of heal right now.
Right.
Armor has been really useful, but also the deal 4 to all on 5 mana is always very, very good against aggro. And against the control decks, just summon 3, summon an 8 burn to face, because we still have quite a lot of burn in the deck. I'm still running Pyroblast, so it is very similar in playstyle to the Gunther Mage, but it's just got more value, and you just basically you just beat every control deck you're ever going to meet, because you've Elise, Cabalist Totem, Medivh, you've got
Kazakas.
There's so much value, it's crazy.
It seems like ages since I played Kazakas Mage or Kazakas Priest, but it wasn't that long ago, and I just like, I don't know, the fact that Bran's gone, it's like, oh, Kazakas is no good anymore, but it's still good. It actually still is good.
Definitely took a hit there.
Yeah.
A little bit of a hit, but still very strong. Very, very strong.
Yeah, I mean, without Reno is such a big deal. Like, not having healing is such a pain in the ass.
I miss Reno.
I know. It was nice seeing Reno watching some of those wild tournaments this weekend.
Yeah.
It was good.
But I don't think this deck is quite as strong as the lists that are popular at the top of ladder, but it's definitely a lot of fun. So if anyone was seeing lots of mages going around, wanted a bit of fun, I would definitely recommend giving this deck a go.
All right, yeah, definitely check that out. Again, it's going to be in the notes, guys, you know, instead of having to go through all these cards every single time, definitely check out the notes, which will be posted on the VOD and on the website too, chainmv.tv. You can find it there. And we'll try to provide the codes too. I'll probably get the codes from these guys so that we can put it there, and you guys can enter it into your deck slots much, much easier.
Ability is so amazing.
Oh god, it's
I
so good.
It.
So good.
So great.
All right, Allie, you brought a Medivh Mage, so another Medivh Mage here, but a little bit different though.
Yeah, it's a little different. I got this from the player Teray, and it's basically Gunther Mage, but with Elise in it. And you know, someone brought it up in my chat. They're like, "Oh, well, you know, does having Elise in it, is it counterintuitive to your game plan, you know, because you don't really want to draw the pack. You want to draw your cards so that you can burn them faster. But I don't know. I really, really like it. Sometimes the body is actually really relevant. And also the pack just can help you with, you know, control matchups. And so I've really, really been enjoying this quite a bit. I've been playing it, I think, the most this season. And I've had, like, quite a bit of success with it. You could swap it out. Like I said, it's very similar to just a normal Gunther Mage, but you could potentially swap out the Elise for an Eater of Secrets. And can we talk about Eater of Secrets for a second? Because I just
it's the most triggering thing in the world.
I just don't even know how to really feel about it, because I don't like the card really. Like I tried swapping out one Volcanic Potion in this list and putting in the Eater of Secrets, and pretty much the majority of the time I was like, oh, I'd much rather just have a second Volcanic Potion. But you know, sometimes in the mirror, like I said, that's why I think maybe the Elise swap might actually be a little bit better than the second potion, because of the aggro druids and the meta and everything. But I can't bring myself to like Eater of Secrets, but I know it's so relevant in the mirror.
I've played so many like control mage mirrors, or like I've been playing like my Kazakus Mage against like control mage, and you're playing the game, you're like planning out how you're gonna win, you feel like you're doing really well, and then suddenly ends the game on the spot. Like,
you know what's funny is that as bad as Eater of Secrets is, we used to have Kazan Mystic, all right, that we used to be
out
there. I know, and we would steal the secret. It was just, can you imagine how bad it was back then?
Imagine that in the meta right
now. I know,
now.
That would be so broken crazy.
That would have to be broken.
Well, think about all the secret mages. Like, I feel like there aren't as many secret mages now as just Gunther mages, but still, it would be insane.
It's an ice block. I mean, you're going to get it, so... I mean, Eater of Secrets is really good right now, but I don't know. It seems to be keeping it tempered, you know what I mean? Keeping the mage a bit under control, or at least those kind of cards. And that's pretty much what it was made to do. So Elise is cool. Like, I have to say, like, I ran Elise in both my Control Warrior and Priestess this past weekend, and man, it performed super well. I mean, I don't know if it was just lucky, like, you know, just with what I was getting, but it was, I mean, there's so many cards. There's so many, you know, cross-class cards that are very useful, you know, and like Vile Spine. Vile Spine's amazing, like, with whatever class.
I love when I get elemental synergy. Mm-hmm. Like, you get the 4 or 5, yeah. Like, a couple of times, yeah. I'll actually get, like, 2 cards that go together, and I'm like, yes! And actually, like, cast Calibos next turn.
I get Calibos a lot from Owens.
Yeah, right?
I don't know about you guys.
I get Tyrantus
sometimes. Oh, do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Tyrantus is obviously fun.
Sick. Love it.
But yeah, Alicia's a lot of fun. So I think that even if you... Maybe you ditch her just for to be smart. You're gonna give up fun though. You're gonna give up a lot of fun dropping her.
Yeah.
She does have the feel of the old Elise. Like, it doesn't feel bad to drop her. It's just like the old Elise, you know,
yeah,
turn 4 is not that bad. Now this one turn 5, it feels fine.
I was really narrow minded when it came to this card when they were announcing it for Nguro. Like, I guess I was just so set on the old Elise. I was like, the old Elise is just better.
Yeah.
And so I've been pleasantly surprised at how much I like the new Elise, honestly. Yeah. And I just didn't expect to like it as much as I do.
No, so. I think one of the best things about this Elise over the other Elise is that the old Elise, you'd have a load of like reactive cards in your deck, like Sleeping Warrior, and you've got like Brawls and Executes.
And
then as soon as you use the monkey, all those Executes and Brawls are gone and you don't know what you've
totally.
Got. Whereas with this Elise, you still have all your other reactive cards, but just these extra as well. So there's no like downside. Really.
Totally.
Right.
So you can just throw it in way more decks.
That's true.
It's great. Yeah.
That's mm-hmm. definitely true. Okay. Well, I mean, I think those are the decks that we were going to talk about. But why don't we talk about a couple cards that are underrated in the class? And let me bring one up real quick. So the first one we're going to talk about is a legendary, and it is Pyros, which we've been starting to see more and more of, which is really cool because. Originally, when we were thinking of Pyros, I think a lot of people are like, oh, this card is terrible. You know, like you get a bunch of vanilla cards, right? It's like, that's not cool. That's not cool at all. But
yeah, I
think people are starting to realize that there's purpose for this card, and it's actually pretty decent.
Yeah, like before the expansion, when I first saw Pyros, I was like, oh my god, there's so much value attached to a 2-mana card. This is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
But then no one... As soon as the expansion came out, it wasn't seeing any play at all.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only recently that it's started to be played. And I've been playing it in my Kazakus list and loving it. It's great, I think.
My story with Pyros is I opened up a golden one, like when I was opening my packs in the first week of the expansion or something. And I was like, oh my God, I got a golden Pyros. I have to make like an elemental mage deck around this specifically because I opened that card and it didn't work. It didn't work. But, and I didn't revisit Pyros until, you know, yeah, it's been like showing up in secret mage, you know, as a good value card. And I don't know, I like it. A lot. And we were talking the other day, and I just want to bring it up again, but the idea of molten reflectioning this could,
yes.
I don't know how, but it could be cool. I don't know how, but I think it's great.
Honestly, if Devolve wasn't in the meta, I think Pyros would be super
Devolve.
Good right now.
It's Devolve.
But you got a golden one? That's like a 3-for-1 gold, right? Right? You get a gold 6-6, right?
Yeah. Yes, you do.
And 10-10, right? That's awesome.
Yes. The animation is so beautiful, too. So,
I
just love this card.
One of the other problems with Pyros in the meta is Potion of Madness. Potion of Madness can really screw you over. Especially in the, like, they're playing like a control-heavy priest, and it's basically just who can outvalue who. And as soon as they Potion of Madness Pyros and kill it in your own minion, you give up so much value. Ridiculous.
Have you ever seen a mage Frostbolt his own Pyros? Have you ever seen anybody?
No.
I haven't.
I've never seen it either, but...
A lot of the time, what the priests do, though, is they, like, Potion of Madness the Pyros, and then just Shadow Word Pain the Pyros.
Yeah.
And so they get the 6-6 back on hand.
That makes sense. That totally makes sense. So I've been seeing some Pyros in a Nazoth deck, too. You know, those type of decks, just because, you know, you get the... Both... The 6-6 and the 2-2, right? If you do it, so there's different ways to look at this card. That's why it's so dynamic. You know, it's an elemental. It's got the value aspect. It's also got the death rattle aspect, and really flexible. And it was much better. This is definitely one of the cards I underrated the most. Looking at it.
Yeah.
Okay, the next card we're going to talk about, and I think Jackie, you wanted to bring this one up, was Cabalaki. Is it because it rhymes with your name?
Yeah.
Lucky
chance.
Lucky chance.
No, well, the weird thing about it is that Secret Mage has become really popular, and it's definitely one of the strongest aggressive decks right now.
Yeah.
But as I've been trying Secret Mage, I found Cabal Lakias to be one of the most awkward cards, because you don't want to play it on turn one, because using Counterspell on turn one is terrible, especially if your opponent has the coin.
Yeah.
Using Mirror Entity is generally really bad on turn one as well. And you, with Lucky, because it's only a 2-1 body, you can end up running out of cards really quickly if you're just dropping a 1-1 or 2-1, playing the secret that is going to get very little value early in the game. Mm-hmm. The only time I found it actually useful to play Lucky is turn like 3 or 4 if you're combining it with Cavale or something like that and having good tempo in like the mid game. But I actually don't like 2 Cabal Lakias in Secret Mage right now. I feel like one is good. But 2 is...
Yeah, I could see that. I could see that. People are playing Kirin Tor more anyways, you know, and it seems to be fitting the curb a bit more.
Yeah. I remember the first, like, week that Secret Mage, you know, started becoming really popular, I was playing a version that had both of the Cabal Lakias in it, and I feel like those were the games that just really, really spiraled out of control, like, super quickly. Like, and it was weird. It worked in the first, like, couple of days of me playing this, like, super, like, hyper, fast Secret Mage deck with the Lakias. And then it slowly, like, didn't work as well for me later on. But I feel like it's a card that helps kind of, like, spiral things out of control if you've got a couple mana worms, you know, down, and it's just, like, you just go crazy and your opponent's like, what just happened?
That's true.
So, yeah. I don't know exactly how much I like the card, but there might be a place for him. But, yeah, maybe a one of.
I think it would have been cool if either the Arcanist or the, you know, the new 5/5 that's, you know, free whenever you're playing Secrets. It would have been cool if it was, you know, it would do it like every single secret that you cast on that particular turn, you know, you would get some kind of bonus from that. So in terms of like the Arcanist, if it was more like Questing Adventure or something like that, I think, you know, if something like Cabal Lakias would probably be more useful, just because you're just getting free cards, right? Being able to play free spells and things like, or secrets in this particular case, and buffing something else, you just see that with other classes, and Mage doesn't have anything like that. So I think that's one of the things that makes it a little bit weaker, you know, and we don't see those other cards as much because of that. But
I feel like Mage is so strong though that if we gave it that ability or like that that's option, you know, like Questing Adventure but Mage version, it could just really
let's just not play any other classes.
Out of control.
Exactly. I totally agree with that. Okay, yeah.
I mean, I haven't actually tried Questing Adventure and Mage. Maybe that could actually be a thing, because you like Primordial Glyph on turn 2 and get like a 0 mana spell. And, like,
okay. Now we're just
I mean, it's as good as not being able to, I mean, we can't stealth it anymore, right? So, I mean, rogues are...
Yeah.
It might be closer to what a rogue has to do now with questing. Okay, well, anyways, we just want to talk about a couple cards that are underrated, and we might start doing that more and more, just talking about classes. We were doing these class spotlights before, but it wasn't quite exactly what I was hoping for, so we might just do these mini ones where we talk about, you know, again, decks and then some cards that might be overlooked right now. But let's see. The next thing we're going to talk about, let's see. Oh, we're going to do community news next. That's what we're going to do. Actually, before we do that, I do want to give a quick shout out to our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by Game Coach, which is a coaching site. And any folks that are looking to just improve their ranking, you know, maybe you've been in the like rank 15 or 12 or something like that, and you want to kind of get better at the game and learn some just tactics or just some techniques or things to look for, getting a coach is a really good way to do that. And I highly recommend it, to be honest. And Game Coach is a perfect place to do that. They have coaches for League of Legends, CSGO, Overwatch, as well as Hearthstone. And you can pick from it's really easy to use too. Just go to game-coach.com. And if you use the ValueTown promo, just all caps ValueTown, you get a 10% off discount from, you know, your first session. Definitely check that out. I remember having this discussion with somebody one time, like a friend of mine. It was back in the StarCraft days, and you know, we were always gamers, but we, he finally ended up signing up for coaching, you know, from one of the pros. I forgot who it was at the time. And I was like, oh my God, you're paying for coaching for video games? Are you serious? And then he was like looking at me and he's like, dude, do you pay for, you know, like, you know, golf coach, you know, like golf lessons or tennis lessons or things like that? Cause I play those. And I'm like, yeah, I do. And it's like, how often do you play golf and tennis? And I'm like, you know, I play a couple times a week. How often do you play StarCraft? And I'm like, oh, that's true. I play it every single night. And it's like, well, there you go. And I'm like, oh, okay. That totally makes sense now. Ever since then, you know, I was like, I actually did take some coaching way back when in StarCraft. So coaching is a great thing, guys. And it's really that. It's like you spend so much time playing Hearthstone, you might as well, you know, like spend a little bit of money that you would normally be spending, I don't know, doing something else, trying to get better at something else. Why not get better at Hearthstone? So anyways, check out Game Coach, guys. And, you know, big thanks to them for sponsoring the episode, as well as our patrons. Of course, it's, you know, you guys are the foundation for the show, you know, like the support of the show. We would not be able to do the show without you guys. And, you can support the show at patreon.com/valuetown. Always want to give a shout out to some of the folks each and every episode. So big shout out to Mike T, our legendary producer, as always. And then some others, Ed H, Bob K, Nathan J, Old Man Riv, Zach P, Johnson C, Grant A, Code Chemist, Champ C, Michael S, Richard G, Shane F, Chris C, it's not me, and it's Thomas O.
Yeah. That rhymed, Chris C, but not me.
Yeah, exactly.
I thought you were going to start busting a rap.
We had requests for you rap, man, so we might have to actually do that eventually.
Yeah, maybe one day.
Absolutely. Now, thank you so much, guys. And again, you know, any amount, if you guys want to contribute to the show, it helps. Like a quarter, a dollar, it goes a long ways to helping us, again, improve the show and do some cool things with it. All right, why don't we talk about some community news? We had a couple things. First, why don't we talk about the events first? So we had Star Ladder conclude, and for those who are not familiar with Star Ladder, it's a tournament series or just a tournament that goes on for months and months and months, and it culminated in Kiev this past weekend, and we had a lot of top players there, and Zelay ended up winning over RDU in the end. So big win for Zelay. And Zelay, you know, he's been a host on the show too, and he's obviously a frequent guest on the show. So proud of him for pulling that out. And he's finished close many, many times too. So this is a pretty big win. Starlighter is definitely a big tournament.
Yeah, yeah. Good to see Zelay do well. His one of his decks was quite interesting actually. He had a
Paladin deck. That let me bring this up.
The two of the interesting cards were he had Black Knight and Onyxia.
Yeah, cool. Let me bring this site up, and this is from Kilku. They did this awesome article that just summarized the entire event, so you guys should check that out. It's in the notes too. But talking about this Paladin, where is it? Here it is.
Yeah, like a lot of the slower Paladins that people are running right now, they play the Curator, and then they have like Primordial Drake, which is the dragon. That you want to be Drake, but you want to Curate on 7 and then Primordial Drake on 8. But he's not playing Primordial Drake at all, and he's taken a more aggressive... It's like a more aggressive take on mid-range
Paladin.
Yeah, I like
it. Pretty cool.
Oh, man. And also Vine Cleaver.
He's playing Vine Cleaver, baby. Right? He's playing Vine Cleaver. Yes, dude. That's awesome. And Onyxia, too. So
yeah, one thing about Vine Cleaver, it's kind of similar to, you know, Piranha Launcher.
Yeah,
but exactly. Piranha Launcher is, well, everyone sees it as being terrible, but it's like the value you get in the long run of Piranha Launcher is actually really good.
Yeah.
But Hunter is just not designed to play slow games like that. And so Hunter, it just doesn't work. Whereas Vine Cleaver, Paladin has a lot more defensive tools. You have healing in Raglylord and Tyrion. You have lots more taunts. So your game's generally going to go longer, and you can get the full value out of the Vine Cleaver. Mm-hmm. Also, it's really good with Tarim, obviously, creating loads of dudes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, I really like the Paladin list.
Yeah, I believe it performed really well for him, too. And I really like it, too. I think that Tarim seems to pop up a lot whenever I get the Stonehill Defenders. And normally, it's purely defensive. You know, many, many times, right? I'm just like, okay, I'm wanting to convert something huge into a 3-3 or a Primordial Drake a lot of times, too. It's just like, okay, I can make it a 3-3. Thank goodness. I don't have to kill that big-ass thing, right? So, I mean, you know, this is a different case. Like, this deck actually makes it more offensive. You know, when you have all like Onyxia and all those 1/1s and Vinecleaver creating those 1/1s too, you know, it allows you to do that. And not to mention it gives you breath, and having like a wide board is so good against Quest Warrior, you know, just the Taunt Warrior. So yeah. I think in a lot of ways, yeah, this was really, really smart the way he designed this.
Just looking at the list now, like, it actually seems really strong. Like, you've got a really good early game, and then the mid game is good too. You got Steeds, and then, you know, Tyrion and Nyxia to kind of finish it off. Like, I kind of want to try this.
Honestly. Yeah, Black Knight's really interesting, because when the expansion first came out, I remember loads of people saying, oh, Black Knight's going to be so strong, and no one's really played it.
Yeah, I used it a lot in the beginning. Yeah.
But it's great against Quest Warrior. It's good against other paladins, Tyrion or Tarim or something they've used Fiery Steed on. I guess it sucks against Mage.
Yeah, that's true.
It does. But you can afford one card. I mean, it's a 4/5. It's not
the worst. But I think there's quite a lot of matchups where it's good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shaman's good against Destroy Thing from Below or something similar.
Yeah, or just Stonehill Defenders. Whatever runs Stonehill Defender, right? You at least have some kind of target with it. Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah, I haven't played it since the first couple weeks of the expansion. It's definitely something to revisit. He actually has Rallying Blade in here, too. And I've thought about Rallying Blade like several times in Paladin, just because it just helps with all, you know, when mid-range was obviously really popular, or even just with some of the Shaman at times. It's nice to have that weapon that can chop down stuff. And he doesn't have I mean that's his only weapon, actually, right? Like, Rallying Blade's the only weapon he has in his deck. That's a different take on it.
I actually was playing with one Rallying Blade and one True Silver.
Oh, he's got Vinecleaver
today. He's got Vinecleaver. And obviously I think True Silver is just one of the best weapons in the game. So it felt kind of weird to take out, you know, a True Silver and put in a Rallying Blade. But I feel like that mana reduction is so clutch sometimes against aggro, just having it be 3 mana, or you can coin it out on 2 if you need to. So yeah, I actually really, really like a lot of these choices that he put into this deck.
Yeah, you know what it's really good at doing? It's really good at chopping down the mage 2/3s.
And the mana totally.
One. Yeah, it's really, really good for that.
That poke damage can spiral out of control from them. So
yeah, totally. Yeah, looking at some of these other decks, did you see anything else that popped out, Jackie? Any of these other decks?
Not particularly, just kind of a lot of standard things.
Yeah.
Nyria had Wild Pyromancer and Acolyte and his Jade Druid, which is little bit different. A lot of people have been playing, well, Primordial Drake has now become like a staple in Jade Druid. But Pyromancer and Acolyte are interesting because there's like
Shaman, you
don't. It's not like Mage where you can keep healing up the Pyromancer. You don't have. I mean, sorry. Like, it's not like Priest where you can keep healing up the Pyromancer. You have powered shield. I mean, Earthen Scales can buff the Pyromancer, but one of Druid's problems is AoE, and I actually don't feel like Swipe is that good right now.
No, I don't think it is.
a lot of the reason being that Azure Drake is no longer a thing, and so spell damage swipe barely ever happens, and there's not that many decks that have a load of 1/1s, and so a lot of the time you're using swipe just to kill like one minion.
Yeah. I feel like that one pyro is just, you know, one board clear, or, you know, like a decent sized board clear for against Shaman, right? Shaman's not the greatest matchup.
Yeah, I guess Shaman and Aggro Druid are the two matchups where Pyromancer is going to be huge.
Yeah. So he's just hedging. It looks like he's hedging a bit there, which is not normal. And, you know, normally people would bring a Jade Druid and just have it counter control, period, right? You know, in a Conquest type of tournament. But, in this case, it's, or not, you know, just have it win that way instead of trying to hedge for it. Interesting take on it. But anyways, so Star Ladder concluded. Great tournament as always. They, you know, they always do some amazing things with it, and hopefully it'll continue on. We had the Wild tournament also, which you guys alluded to, because Control did super well in it. He made it to the finals, actually, right, against Mech Nugget, or at least in the qualifiers or whatever.
Yeah, he finished in the top two in the qualifiers, and he's going to go to the top eight.
Yeah, the top eight. So.
Which is really good, yeah. But watching that tournament was actually really fun, because I've like last month because of the announcement of this World Tournament, I played a load of Wild.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it's great to play with all these other cards. And there are some decks that you see in Standard and Wild, like Pirate Warriors.
It's not that different, you know? It's kind of crazy.
But then there's so many other things you can come back to. Like there's loads of potential for an Azoth. There's Reno decks. Yeah. There's OP cards like Dr. Boom and Zombie Chow and Shredder, and even it's actually really fun to play these cards again.
Yeah, go ahead, Allie.
I was just gonna say, I personally like love the recent spotlight on Wild. I think it's super fun, you know. And it, for whatever reason, you know, not that many people were kind of playing it before, and I guess the Heroic Brawl kind of kicked it off.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think a lot of people have just sort of realized, hey, this is actually kind of fun. You know, let's play some Wilds. Yeah,
so. Yeah. I don't know if it's just because, you know, it's still fresh, you know, or feels fresh.
Maybe,
especially watching the tournament. But yeah, it just felt good. You know, it was slightly a change of pace, even though a lot of people are playing similar decks. But seeing some of the old cards, you know, I think just was refreshing to see. And, you know, I would say, like, being able to use all the cards isn't, like, this crazy exponential improvement. You know, like, if we were to have every, like, Pirate Warrior, for instance, right? I'm looking at Mech Nuggets Pirate Warrior. It's not that much better than the current one that's in Standard, you know? Even though it is good. I mean, it's got Shiv's Cannon, all right?
So, yeah,
I mean, okay. We can agree on that one, all right?
Yeah, it's broken.
But, you know, but it's not, you know, it's still very relatable, you know, for Standard players. So, you know, I hope we... Well, I want to see more Wild. In fact, it kind of made me think about, why isn't Wild just the competitive format, you know? Because
I think the fact that Blizzard announced this tournament has been fantastic, because I think a lot of the reason that people haven't played Wild that much is that there's no competitive incentive. There's no you get rank one legend and there's no real, you don't get any points for it, you don't really get anything, and a lot of the tournaments that people watch are in Standard, so people want to play these decks at the same tournaments. So for there to be some kind of incentive to finish high in Wild, and I think it's attracted a lot more people to Wild, and loads of the pro players as well have been playing Wild as well.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully they do more things like this and encourage more
totally
Wild players.
Yeah, Wild is, oh man, it is definitely a lot of fun, and you get to play all your favorite cards that are gone now, especially Priest. I was playing a ton of Kazakus Priest whenever the Tavern Hero or the Tavern Heroic Tavern Brawl was out. And I haven't gotten a chance to go back and revisit it, but you know, I still have that Priest deck that's just sitting there. That's a Wild deck that I've been definitely wanting to get back to. But yeah, kudos to those 8 players, and I mean, it's like in all the regions too. So you know, I think the top 8 is whenever we'll start, you know, being able to take a really closer look at it. But you know, hopefully, again, like, this will be the first of many things. Another bit of news. So Derek from Onog ended up tweeting over the weekend that Onog is shutting down, which is One Nation of Gamers. And Elysian, I don't know, may not be into the Hearthstone competitive scene. One Nation of Gamers has been sponsoring these open tournaments for a long time now in Hearthstone. And, you know, they kind of started out small, but at this point, they're very big open tournaments that happen at these events. Like, they're live. Like, you can actually go and play it at these events. Like, South by Southwest, I think, was one of them. And, you know, they've done like 2 or 3 this year. So it was kind of surprising. I didn't expect, you know, that to happen, given that I felt like the viewership, and I mean, they were getting, you know, 15,000, 20,000 people watching those tournaments, you know, and Frozen did really well in a lot of them, you know, and we were seeing some notable players playing in them and casting for them. So, yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere. And I feel like this is not a good thing for the Hearthstone community, given that, you know, this is one of the other third party tournament organizers that was doing stuff.
Did they explain their reasoning? Like, did they make a statement of any kind?
He might have told me a couple of things privately, which I probably can't say publicly. To be honest, he didn't tell me too much. And you know, I don't think there was that big of an official statement outside of his tweet. But yeah, that's kind of a bummer. Given, you know, they actually had non-endemic sponsors too. You know, Geico was a big sponsor of that, and I know eBay was a sponsor for those tournaments too. So it's one of the few events that had non-gaming type of sponsors. I thought he was making some pretty good, you know, headway there. So yeah, maybe we'll find out a little bit more about it, you know, in the future. But you know, definitely a huge thanks for, you know, Derek and the crew. I think it was Hannah too that was his partner in that, and doing a lot of the Hearthstone tournaments just throughout the years. And you know, a lot of players benefited from it. You know, I think Frozen's first win was an ONOC tournament, so that's really, really huge for you know, for some of these players to get some notoriety and things like that. Okay, the last thing I got is Disguised Toast. So Disguised Toast, we always, you know, he's a friend to the show, and friend, obviously a good friend too. I mean, I'm a good friend with him. He ended up literally in Blizzard jail this time around. Like, you know, we always make the joke that he was in Blizzard jail because he's always pointing out bugs and things like that with the products and finding them. This particular case, he ended up getting in trouble, and he actually got suspended because he was showing an exploit that was, you know, that was giving people free wins, or, you know, like making the game crash or making the client crash and then giving wins to, you know, the person that was causing the crash. So I think that the whole story of it was that it was posted on a forum. People were talking about it. And so Toast wanted to check it out, and he checked it out on stream. Right. And, you know, so a lot of people saw it. Blizzard ended up suspending him 4 days, and, you know, that's the TLDR of it. So, you know, yeah. I guess not much to say here. It's really the question to ask is whether, you know, whether Toast should have been suspended, or, you know, given that, I don't know, he's kind of walked that fine line for a long time anyways. And so, you know, was it right to suspend him for doing that? And, you know, just kind of, when is it the right time to suspend somebody, especially somebody popular like Toast?
Yeah, I mean, look, I love Toast. I do. Yeah. I love his stream. I think he's great.
We all love him.
Exactly. We all love Toast. We really do. In this particular situation, I'm sorry, Toast, if you hear this. I think I'm going to err on the side of, I do think the suspension was a little fair. I mean, you just kind of have to think about, you know, how many people, you know, his stream reaches. And I, like you said earlier, you know, he's always walked that line of kind of showing bugs and stuff like that. So I get his side of it, you know, and I do think it's fair to a certain extent. But I think it's more as a courtesy to Blizzard, because they kind of needed to fix it like very quickly, you know, because his stream reaches so many people. And so maybe, you know, if he had, you know, kind of done it in a more sly way, he could have given them a heads up, like, hey, this is an issue sort of thing.
I think a better way to present it is, what's the difference between him doing it on stream and him making a video that gets 500,000 views anyways?
That's a good point.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, would... He's not really going to get suspended from YouTube. But,
no, I mean, but what he does on the YouTube videos is literally, like, pointing out bugs. You know what I mean? And Blizzard's always appreciated that. I mean, I think they value him in a way. They've even said it publicly, you know, that he's our best tester, essentially, right? And he's become famous for that. And, you know, obviously,
I mean,
he's beyond
I think
that.
if he finds the bug and kind of shows it to Blizzard, and then maybe after they've solved the bug, he brings out a video or talks about it. I think that would be personally the most reasonable way to do it. Because if you are showing people live how to use a bug and essentially get free wins, like essentially cheat, like essentially how you can cheat the game and get loads of ranks for free, I think he should have been suspended. As much as we love Toast, like, if anyone was going to point out stuff like that, it would be Toast.
Yeah.
But it is essentially showing a load of people how they can cheat, and a lot of people will do it, and it will ruin the game for a lot of people. So
yeah,
I think
that was the thing. It was this particular bug, you know, showing people how to kind of abuse it, you know, and get free wins. And I think that's where, you know, Blizzard was probably just like, nah, man, you can't do that. So. because I love Toast. I do see a side of it because that's, you know, what he's known for. But in this situation, I'm going to have to stand by the suspension.
I actually didn't see it happen live. Like, everything was pulled either. So fast. Like, the Reddit mods pulled everything and you know, removed and banned just removed all the comments and stuff that were linking to it. So it was hard to even see what it was all about. But because I know a lot of people thought it was just the Shadow Vision thing. You remember when he did the endless loop type of thing, right? That would eventually break the thing. But it turned out, you know, it was something completely different. But I agree with you guys. I mean, I think there's a certain line that you can't cross. And I'd be shocked if he, I don't know if he agreed with it or not. I'm not sure. There was some talk that he didn't really agree with it, but I don't know. I don't know that for a fact.
So yeah, I mean, I think the best way to do it would be if he discovered a bug, create video clips about it, report it to Blizzard, then after they fix the problem, then he posts the videos. I don't know if that's realistic, but I think that would be the best way to do it, if possible.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe they will establish some type of process moving forward. But, but yeah, so Toast just... becoming even more infamous. Infamous. He's a bad boy now, too.
Whoa.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think from the standpoint of news, I think we're done with the news. So we do have a quick little trailer that we want to show from Game Coach. Again, Game Coach is sponsoring this episode. And here's a quick word from them. We'll be right back. Here at Game Coach, we have a variety of games such as League of Legends, Hearthstone, CSGO, Overwatch, and many more to come in the future. When you have picked a game of your liking, simply choose one of our fantastic coaches by clicking on his or her profile. Here you will see background information and their calendar availability for a lesson. Starting a lesson is super easy. Coordinate with your coach and meet up on Discord, and then jump on a voice channel and begin your journey to becoming legendary. Game Coach. Just Drew It. All right. Well, thanks again for Game Coach for sponsoring the episode. And check it out, game-coach.com, and you know, sign up for coaching with the ValueTown promo code, which will give you 10% off. All right, Mechatorx Workshop, guys. All right, Mechatorx, it's been a while. Workshop. This might be y'all's first time. This is your first time doing Mechatorx, right?
I kind of liked it. Like, making your own content.
Yeah,
isn't
it? Yeah, I'd love to.
Blizzard, if you're listening, I would love to be here.
That's right.
Yeah, right?
Right.
I went through and, like... Oops. Put a lot of effort into, like, what photos I got for it, too.
Right.
I was like, I'm going to make
this
as pretty as I can.
It's not easy finding pictures, man. It's totally hard. Well, I want to start out with a couple that we got last week, and just a couple cards that we received from some of the fans. And first one we have here, and this is from Raydan, I believe, just to kind of celebrate, you know, Allie and Jackie joining the show. We've got a 10 mana. Is it a hunter card? What is this? This is like an aqua card.
That's a terrible card.
It's aqua.
It's aqua. It's a terrible card. No. We're trying to bring value back to Hunter. We're trying to bring Hunter back, right? But it's a value to the town. It's a legendary. Add Jackie Chan and Ali Straza to the show. So, that's nice.
Love it.
Oh, no, I love it.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for making this. I enjoy it a lot.
Yeah, feel at home now.
Right.
That's so cool.
I'll print it out. Put it on my...
I like how it's like this room full of gold and treasures and things like that.
Yeah, the artwork's pretty legit, man.
I know, totally. So he had also another couple cards here that I thought had a pretty very interesting premise concept. The Gates of Orgrimmar and then the Gates of Stormwind. And one's a warrior, of course, with the Orgrimmar one. And then the other one is a paladin. So the Orgrimmar one reads, change the battlefield to Orgrimmar. As long as it is Orgrimmar, your minions have enraged +2 attack. And then the other one is the Gates of Stormwind. Change the battlefield to Stormwind. As long as it is Stormwind, your minions have a +1/+1. And I believe what he's talking about is like when the battlefield, the actual background, you know, the game board changes, it ends up buffing your characters. And it'd be kind of cool if it buffed a particular race of characters too, right? Like with... Ogrimmar, it would be all the orcs and, you know, things like that. What do you guys think of this?
Yeah, this is a super cool idea. I like the Paladin one. It's almost like in a Mistcaller, you play it and then all your minions in your deck become +1/+1. It's like that, but like better, because every minion you have gets +1/+1. And then I guess if this was a thing, maybe it'd even have one for each class, and each class could change their board to a certain.
I don't know.
I think the concept of, you know, we haven't really had anything related to the battlefield. So I just think that, you know, just coming up with this idea is super, super cool. So good job. I think this would be sick. I don't know how you would balance it like perfectly, but I like the idea. At least it's a start to kind of doing something super cool and different.
Yeah, having it permanently upgrade your minions might be a little rough.
Yeah.
But if you could pick, like, I guess a certain, you know, tribe of cards, or I mean, we don't have a concept of race, so it would probably be a race of cards. And if this was legendary, I think it would be better too, because you could only have one of it, and it wouldn't be as consistent. But I like that whole, like, teleporting to another world, you know, having the game board actually interact with it. That's actually really cool. And it would be funny if just even the little plants and stuff on the boards could do something to your cards too. Wouldn't that be funny if environmentally start?
Could they actually do this? Like, I think it's,
they could do it. It's just, it would get away from the card game.
You could do one for different races as well. So you could have maybe even like a dragon's lair or something.
Dragons
get some kind of buff.
Molten Core could be like something ridiculously cool for elementals and stuff.
It's a cool idea.
I thought it was a great idea. So kudos to you guys, or at least Radan, for sending that in. Next up, we've got Allie. She has two portals here. Yeah, so the dark portal.
So it's actually my take on a new take on a warlock quest, because I just don't think the warlock quest is really strong, and I was trying to think of something that could be cool for warlock, because we all know it's in a bad place right now. So I was sort of thinking of like an Emperor Thorathon, like handlock style. You know, you spend the first, you know, 4 turns, you know, tapping, and then you get this, you know, you open the portal and you get this 3 mana reduction. And I'm not sure, like, how, if this is just too OP or not strong enough. I'm not sure. But I just thought the idea of, you know, kind of having an Emperor Thorathon type of effect on your entire hand could be really cool.
Okay, so this is a quest reward. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay. So open the dark portal is the card, and then the dark portal is the, it's like open the waygate and then the waygate.
Gotcha. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, so that was my idea. I think
a cost reduction, I mean, warlocks tend to have a ton of cards in their hands, right? I mean, just, you're always going to have 8 or 9 or shoot 10 most of the time. So, this cost reduction, I think it'd be super good. Like, crazy.
Is it too good?
Just play it and then just empty your hand.
Can I just say that warlock has always been and will probably always be my favorite class. So maybe I was like trying to make it a little too broken here. So maybe it needs to be more expensive, or the reduction needs to be
I mean, but warlock needs all the help it can get right now. Right. Maybe just smacking some OP card in it could actually help a lot.
Well, it has to be more than one, because, you know, the druid one is basically one, right? So, you know, 2 or 3. I could see that. Yeah, I think they would need it right now, but it would mostly go to spells though. Right now, I feel like there's just so many spells that in warlock that people are using. But I like it. Yeah, I think it's cool. I mean, I think that anything to help their quest right now would be better than what it is.
Exactly. Okay. Well, anyway, that's my take.
Cool, man. No, that's definitely great first card from Allie and Necrotaric.
Yes, thank you.
All right, so I came up with one that was, the name isn't the best, okay? So, I mean, I was trying to come up with something that's like transfusion, you know, type of thing, but I came up with Soul Fusioner. And at first I was going to say, I'm just going to call it Soul Fusion. But then I'm like, wait, I have a body. I can actually call it something. It's actually a thing. So I ended up calling it Soul Fusioner. It's a one drop, a 1/1 body, and it's an epic card. Battlecry, discard, actually, it should, the grammar's bad because I had it as two originally. Discard one card from your hand and draw one card. So the purpose is to help the discard quest, right? And just the discard. Mm-hmm. So it helps you cycle. I mean, and it helps you, you know, get obviously one closer to the quest, completing the quest without actually losing a card, because that's the challenge right now, right? You have this conflict or this conflicting type of gameplay, which is you know discarding generally is bad for you, right? There's a few cards that are good, like silverware and things like that, but for the most part, mm-hmm. discard is bad. But when you're trying to complete the quest, it's good. And so and then you run out of cards. You can run out of cards because you're discarding, and then you have to live tap, and then it just becomes like this crazy inefficient type of loop, you know, that can happen. So I think more of these kind of cards that essentially just move your timer up one, you know, and yeah, you lose a card, but you know, you're getting a card back, so you actually still have ammo to discard.
Yeah, you can do some really cool stuff with it if you like. I mean, even just like Malkazar's Imp coin soul fusion, it would be really, really nice. Or like just playing it on turn one and getting really lucky and pulling Silverware Golem would be pretty broken. But,
I originally had it as two cards, but then I was like, oh no, that's too good. Yeah. That's way too good.
Yeah.
No, I like it though. I feel like the disco lock needs something more. I don't know. I really like it. I feel like it's good.
Yeah, I actually, the cards I've created is similar to this in terms that it's trying to improve discard warlock, but it's more of a...
Yeah, let's talk about it.
An aggro discard card rather than a slow quest warlock card.
Right. So it's Grant
it's called
Fear, right?
Grant Fear,
Let me bring it up here. Grant
I love
Fear.
How we're all trying to help Warlock out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
they need the love Grant here. Fear. Okay, so Grant Fear, why don't you describe this to us? Or just,
so three mana, when you play or discard this, give your minions +1/+1. If discarded, return to your hand. So can use it as three mana +1/+1 to all your minions, which is obviously pretty underpowered for what you're getting. Mm-hmm. Or you can discard it and it buffs everything you have on the board and then it goes back into your hand again. So it's similar to Zavass, where it goes back into your hand again.
Ooh, yeah.
And Jack, it, so this is actually a really good card.
I like that, yeah.
I like this a lot.
It too.
No.
Yeah.
It's complicated. I'm just kidding. I like the name too.
I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. I mean, I think it would probably end up being too OP, but.
Yeah.
Let me think.
If it costed. Four? I don't know. I like it at three. I don't know.
I don't think it's... I mean, it's good. There's no question it's good. I don't know if it's OP, though. I mean,
I feel like Disco Lock is not in a good spot, so if you gave it a card like this, like, even though this might be really good, I don't think it would, like, break the meta, you know? Like, it'd be okay. Yeah. So I love it. I think it's great.
I think one of the problems with Disco Lock is that, even in a more aggressive list, is that you don't have many cards you want to discard. You literally only have Silverware Golem and then Zavass.
True.
There's only three cards in your entire deck that you actually want to discard. So I think if they brought out one more card that was good to discard, so you had five, I think that would significantly improve the deck. And maybe something like this, which is a bit different and like buffing instead of actually putting a minion on the board.
I mean, I like this card a lot too, because it has, you know, not only do you benefit from discarding this card, you know, like there's some cards where you discard it and it just comes back on the board, right? And it's very, very clear. The nice thing about this is that there's two elements of preparing to play this card or to discard this card, which is you have to put some minions on the board, right? Unless you're talking about giving your minions in your hand +1/+1, but I was assuming it was something on the board. So you have to prepare the board to be a certain way, and then you have to prepare your hand to be a certain way so you can discard it, right? So from a skill cap standpoint, it's very high, you know, in trying to optimize this. Mm-hmm. So I do like that. I like that a lot. And Disco Lock has a hard time keeping minions on the board, so I don't even think a +1/+1 would be that crazy powerful.
Yeah, I mean, you could use your soul fusion on turn
that's
one.
Right.
Just,
that's
just
right.
Just go on Grand Fear and have a 1-mana 2-2.
You'd be over.
Yeah.
Totally over. Yeah, that's right.
Nicely done. I like it.
Yeah, I really like this card. This card's really good. Okay, so I have another card here that was more of a fun card, but it's called Sir Goya.
He's a
panda. Like he's the husband of Madame Goya who has to go to war a lot, but Sir Goya goes to war a lot, so Madame Goya's at home obviously running her brothel of pandas or whatever it is that she's running. No, I don't think she runs a brothel. She runs some kind of drug ring or something. I forget what it is. But yeah, so Sir Goya is, you know, associated with Madame Goya, but he's a 3-mana 3/4. It's a classless card, so it's a neutral card, and it's a legend, so you can't run two of them. Battlecry: swap a random minion, a random friendly minion, with a random enemy minion. So I was originally gonna limit it to like a certain classes. I just couldn't decide what class to limit it to, so I figured, okay, I will just throw it out there as a neutral. And then of course there's some classes that are OP. Oof. Like Shaman, right, or Paladin, I can hero power and throw stuff out and trade with you, kind of thing. But yeah, so it's meant to be a crazy powerful card.
Yeah. No, I mean I like it. I like it, but it definitely seems like Sylvanas powerful. Like, you know what, yeah, I mean? Like that, yeah, type of power level.
Yeah. I mean, you have to swap a minion. So you'll have to have a minion on the board. And that's why I mean, like people that can, like the classes that can hero power, obviously is hugely beneficial. But if we made it one of the other classes, I couldn't decide which class. So maybe we can decide, but, you know, like a druid.
Okay, I see what you're like saying. Something it might else. Be too good as a neutral.
Yeah, Shaman and Paladin, it would probably be just insane.
Broken, yeah.
But, so it's like you're swapping it in on the board. So they have to have a minion and you have to have a minion.
So, yeah, you both have to have a minion, right? And, you know, there'll be moments where obviously it'll be RNG-ish, you know, type of thing. You know, where but
it could be good with you know, the 5-mana 2/2 that deals 5 damage and then has a death rattle, deal 5 to your face.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh my god.
I can't remember what it's.
What? Is it Bomb Squad or is it?
It might be Bomb Squad.
Yeah, I think it's Bomb Squad.
Yeah, but it's Bomb Squad.
It's the worst thing.
They'd be really good with
Fire Emblem Portal. That's the only thing I know. Yeah, that would be pretty cool.
Oh my gosh.
That could be pretty.
No, I like it though. Like you could do some crazy things, I think.
Yeah. This might not be the best implementation of it, but I like something about swapping things. Maybe if it was something where it was like you can't swap things that you play that turn, you can only swap things that were on the board already. But it's something to do with that, you know, like manipulating in that way.
In like a Paladin or a Shaman, this would literally be like a 5-mana mind control, but with a 3/4 body attached,
exactly.
Right? Because you steal whatever you like. So this would actually be broken in Paladin or Shaman.
Like mind control, at least I got a totem. It's like, wow,
so
that's
true.
It's probably too overpowered, but I figured the idea was kind of a fun one. And then
I love the artwork.
The name I think is the best part of it. The circle.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Jackie, you've got one last one here, which is Raptor Egg. Yes, Jackie coming up with another egg. Actually, this
has to be some kind of egg.
Yeah, this one's for the hunter class, though. This one's not for the druid. So
I think one of the main problems with hunter right now is hunter relies on being ahead, but hunter isn't good enough at getting ahead. So having a one drop that is kind of difficult to remove is, I think, really good. Because you have like Alley Cat right now, but then if you're against Pirate Warrior and they have Nuzzoth first mate, you just instantly lose because they daggy one of them and then patches the other one, and then the Pirate Warrior just snowballs from there and hunter doesn't really have a chance. Whereas this isn't really threatening, so it wouldn't be like a face hunter deck, but it's more of a mid-range hunter card. But it's like something you can play on turn one and then on turn two do something like Direwolf maybe, and then pop it and then have a nice tempo swing on turn two. The raptors would probably be beasts, but it could even be like a more token style hunter where you can play like Defender of Argus, that kind of thing as well. Maybe
at that point though, would it be more aggro than mid-range? Because I feel like if you're gonna play Direwolves and stuff, I feel like maybe I like it though. I think it's really cool.
I mean, how is this better or worse than Alley Cat?
I think it's better.
You really?
I think it's better.
You actually think?
I mean, if you're running a certain style of deck, so if you're playing things right. like Arguses and Dire Wolves and things of, I mean, maybe the egg could even be a beast, and then you could use like Cracking Razor more on it.
Yeah, that's
there you go. There we go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that would make it more interesting.
Good enough.
Make Hyena dangerous, even more dangerous too.
So. Yeah, but I think that one of the problems with Hunter now is just having minions that stick on the board so you can kind of start to snowball, and Hunter can't do that as well as other classes. So having something that's sticky without just giving them like a 1-mana 2/3 or something, I think is kind of the way Hunter should go to.
Yeah. I mean, Alleycat into, you know, Razor Maul, that's a really good play. It's just against Warrior. It's
if it survives.
It's just not good against Warrior. Yeah.
And Maelstrom Portal against Shamans. So
that's true. Yeah. That's true. It's like they need a 1/2. But yeah, I like that. I mean, I definitely like the fact that it at least protects against Maelstrom too.
Going second is kind of awkward if you have one drops. Like, you'd like, they'll play their one drop, then you'll play Alleycat, and then they'll just kill both your Alleycats, and then it's kind of awkward.
So another grandmother, essentially. This is almost very similar to a grandmother that, but you'd have to buff this, though. You wouldn't be able to attack this unless you buffed it.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I definitely Hunter needs something. Absolutely.
If it was a beast, I think it was a beast, it'd make a huge difference. Like having the Razor Maw for sure.
Yeah, it'd probably work. That, but... You can play Razor Maw, you can use Handmaster on it. Timberwolf would work with it.
But, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, you can also Raptor Reg turn one and then coin and get Leok turn two. Seems good.
Yeah, okay. That's actually true. Forgot about the animal companion synergy there.
That's true. Always Leok, right?
Oh, yeah. Always Leok. That's the one that always comes out.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, anyways, that concludes Mechatork's Workshop. Again, we're starting it up. All the patrons, definitely send your cards in, and we'll obviously, patrons always get first priority. But, if you're a fan also and want to send in some of your cards, go ahead and do that too. We'll definitely take a look, and if it seems like something cool, we'll definitely show it that week. Let's talk some questions, some Q&A from just a mixture, actually, some of our patrons and some of our just regulars out there. And Ahmed N, who is our regular emailer, has a question. What are the drawbacks for Blizzard for having a free card rotation when some epics and legend cards are available to try for a week? So is there any drawbacks for them to, give us like these type of trial, like some games like MOBAs, right? They let you try out characters for a week or two for free. And then the whole point is to try to entice you to purchase them, right? Or to buy it with whatever currency that you have. Should they do that with Hearthstone cards?
I don't know how this would work, really, in a card game. I'm trying to.
I think it'd be pretty easy. They would just make everybody has the ability to play.
Right.
I think it would. I mean, they'd probably make less money.
Yeah.
Probably the main reason for not doing it.
Yeah.
I think it would also.
I think
make less people play Arena, because a lot of the reason people play Arena is to play these cards that they don't have. So that could be one potential downside.
Okay. I don't know.
But I don't see much of a downside.
I think.
Another downside. As soon as you do that, everyone's going to be playing the same deck. Everyone's going to be. Yeah, as soon as you make Antonidas free, everyone's going to be playing Antonidas.
In the lower
I would say that's a negative. Okay, so I would say that's the one negative for that is that you could have this migration to certain decks and really throw off just all the data, right? Like, even if you have this kind of spike in the data, it does throw off the entire set for the month, So it would manipulate in that way. But I don't know. I feel like it's not a bad idea. Just my gut reaction to it is that it doesn't seem like it would be that bad of an idea. And I don't think it would affect Arena so much if it's just like one card, like a different week. It's just like one card. And you could be careful about it too. Like if you picked a certain card it's kind of like they're really careful with giving away the golden free card right now, right? If they were careful about it too, then they might, it might not be such huge swings, you know, in certain decks. And I think it does encourage people to buy, you know, more packs and things. If they play with a card for a week and they really enjoy some priest deck, let's say we talk about a deck on this show and then they're able to build it with this free card, and then like a week later they can't play it anymore, then I feel like people would be enticed to pay and try to get some dust to build
it. That is true, actually. Yeah. I didn't look at it from that side, but and I guess it would just be nice for players to, you know, to, if they, you know, if they can't afford to get that legendary and they can play with this really cool, you know, new card. I mean, mm-hmm. I guess I don't really see like too many major downsides. It's just a matter of, you know, they do it or not, but I don't know.
But
I mean, I think it's a case of if they make lots of cards free for a week, for example, then people will think, oh, there's loads of cards that are going to be free this week. Oh, I'll try and lift different loads next week, and I'll never need to buy any packs ever again.
Yeah.
Or they can do it with very few, in which case it will be the problem of if they did, say, two or three, those cards would suddenly see a lot of play and a lot of people would be...
Do you ever think that this could be, like, I don't know if this is a terrible idea or not, but promo for a legendary in the new expansion? Like, they let people...
Like
play with
they do with Megasaur type. Like they
Volcanosaur.
Oh, sorry, Volcanosaur. They already did that. Sorry, my bad. They did do this.
That was really good, though.
Yeah, that was.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot about that.
To your point, Allie, it works well. It worked really well. Yeah, and that card even wasn't necessarily that good. I mean, it was okay. It's an okay card, but it's not like one of the best cards. And everybody was playing it, so.
Yeah, I mean, that's a quite good point, actually, because when that did, it was like a 2 or 3 day period where there was just Volcanosaur that you could play, and everyone was trying it.
I was out of town, so I couldn't do it.
It was great. I was trying, like, Cthune, Aviana, Volcanosaur, Druid, like, it was great. So, with that kind of reasoning, maybe it could be good if it was, if it would have to be kind of a neutral card that they allowed to be played every week that could maybe be played in a few different decks rather than be a very specific card that's... good at one specific thing.
Thanks for the question, Ahmed. Brenton asks, Heroes of the Storm 2.0 seems to be a huge success, which I agree with that. It seems like a lot of people going back to playing Heroes of the Storm now. I enjoyed the game before, but now I'm really loving it. The loot boxes seem quite generous and the UI has improved and things seem to be so much more fun and intuitive. On the other hand, Hearthstone seems quite stingy to me, as it's been from as if it was from a different company. He goes on, and I understand CCG mentality that collecting cards is part of the fun. I remember people complaining, and he kind of goes on and talks about like different things, just about, I guess, you know, paying for certain things of Hearthstone. And anyways, he concludes with, do you think that Hearthstone could benefit from something similar to Heroes of the Storm 2.0? If so, what would you like to see in Hearthstone 2.0? Go for it.
Can I say this? I think the reason why they're doing this is Hearthstone's in a really good spot. You know, they just had 70 million users accounts. Yeah. And so I think with Heroes of the Storm 2.0, like, I don't think Heroes of the Storm was in that great of a position. So they're doing all of this stuff to promote you to play Heroes of the Storm 2.0, you know? So I feel like that's kind of, you know, like, Hearthstone is on the stingier side, but it can afford to be on the stingier side because it's, you know, doing better. But I, like I said, I think Heroes of the Storm 2.0, like, I even played it, and I've never played Heroes of the Storm before, and I had a lot of fun. Like, I actually really, really enjoyed it. But I feel like they're doing all of these things to promote people to play. So, that's just kind of my stance.
I've never played Heroes of the Storm. Could you guys briefly explain what they've kind of done or brought out new, or is there anything changed, or is it just the same as it used to be?
So I'm not an expert in Heroes of the Storm either. Like, you know, I've only played it to like complete quests and, you know, things for Overwatch and even Hearthstone whenever there is promotional stuff. But I mean, they definitely do have loot boxes and that kind of system. And it seems like you do just get more stuff, you know, like, more stuff than Overwatch, more stuff than Hearthstone from these loot boxes, and, you know, just when you win and you're coming back from a long time ago.
Was it always that way?
I mean, I think you do get stuff, but you know, you've gotten stuff before, but I mean, like, again, I can't really speak to how the frequencies change or things like that.
Right.
I mean, I feel like the UI is a little bit different. It's still not, I still don't love the UI, to be honest, of Heroes of the Storm. I don't feel like it's, I don't know, it seems less, how do I put it? I don't want to say like it's more amateur looking, but it doesn't look as refined. It doesn't like to me,
right.
You know, whether it's like the font or just whatever it is, it just doesn't look as stylized as Hearthstone and Overwatch is. So, I think, you know, that's part of it. You know, I'm not sure anyways, like, I don't know, but for sure I've heard feedback that a lot of people like the changes. And, you know, I think the number of players in Heroes of the Storm has gone up probably a decent amount recently.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably, if Hearthstone suddenly had a massive decline of players and it started going down the drain, then, you know, they'd probably do something similar. They'd do something where they give players cards or it costs less money and kind of to try and get people back into the game. But right now, they don't need to do that.
Exactly,
it's expensive as hell and people are still playing the game. So I think Blizzard just don't really have a reason to do that. I completely agree that it is pretty expensive to...
it's not ideal.
Yeah.
Right now.
So I brought up this exact idea back when... When did I bring up this idea? I think it was around Gadgetzan, or maybe before Gadgetzan, when people were just very unhappy. Like, it was during a time where a lot of, you know, like, most of the player base was just, at least the competitive player base was very, very unhappy. And I brought up the idea that I think Hearthstone 2.0 could be something that they consider. And, you know, just as a separate product release. You know, and the reason I brought it up at the time was just that, you know, if they felt that they were in a place where a lot of legacy cards, you know, a lot of the classic cards that they just felt they can't just get rid of, right? Like, they feel like they're just so far down it, there is some content that they just can't get rid of, then coming out with a completely new product is a way to start over, you know, and do that, you know, and get rid of some of those mistakes and just start from scratch. Now, if you were to do that, you have to include huge features, you know, like tournament mode and, you know, things that aren't currently in the game to pull that off, you know, to actually have the playing community, you know, not rage on you like, you're greedy bastards. I can't believe you're like, you know, creating a whole new game and all of us that have spent thousands of dollars have to spend more, you know, more money just like this guy over here. So, you know, that's the biggest negative to it is that people are going to feel like, oh my God, we've already invested this much money and now we got to like buy it again. It's crazy. But I think from a standpoint of correcting mistakes and things like that, you know, that's a method of doing that.
I feel like their transition to doing the whole standard and wild thing and also rotating cards into the Hall of Fame is kind of their happy medium take on a Hearthstone 2.0, you know? Sort of, in a little respect.
Yeah, and I'm so, you know, that was 6 months ago. You know what I mean? I think right now with the current state of it, they've done a lot. They've done a ton in the last 6 months. You know, in terms of, you know, giving us stuff. Obviously, the reset. You know, these new cards, and you know, there's different concepts and things that they're trying. You know, I think the general state of Hearthstone is improved, except for Arena. Arena goes like, that's so wrong. No. Okay. Outside of Arena, I think the general state of Hearthstone is so good, you know, is much better than it was. So
yeah, I agree.
I don't think we're in that state where we need a Hearthstone 2.0 right now.
No, I mean, I think there was a phase where Hearthstone did go for a bit of a lull when Shaymin just dominated everything. Ladder and tournaments, and it was a bit frustrating. But right now Hearthstone is great. There's so much stuff to do, so many different decks. Hearthstone is great right now. Every single time I like play the game, I'm like, oh, what about that? Oh, I haven't done that yet. Oh, I need to play this.
Absolutely.
I think the sad truth is just Blizzard have no need to give you anything because people are spending money, people are still playing the game. They have no reason to give you stuff.
Yeah.
Capitalism. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Capitalism, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Corporation, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that's the only questions that we've got for this week. So if you guys want to email them, again, email them to valuetalent@chainmovie.tv, and we'll check them out. One thing I do want to do is give a shout out to some of the iTunes folks that have left us 5-star reviews. For those of you who might not know, Valuetown is an audio podcast too. So you can find us on all your Apple devices on iTunes, as well as Google Play and SoundCloud too, if you just want to listen to us on your PC. But one way to help the show, if you can't contribute to the Patreon, is to just go to iTunes, take a minute or two, leave us a nice, 5-star review, and lots of people leave these awesome messages for us too. That makes us feel good. And I want to give a shout out to Go Tommy Goes and Breakdown 114 for doing that. Really appreciate it, guys. And it helps people find Valuetown when they're searching for Hearthstone in iTunes, because SEO, all that good stuff. I'm not sure we know how it works, but I'm sure these ratings help it. I'm just assuming that it probably helps. So if you can help out that way, that would be amazing. But yeah, guys, I think that's going to be it for this week.
That's a wrap.
Yeah, that's a wrap. Jackie, want to do some shout outs? Where can people find you outside of this channel that we're watching the show?
FTK _ Jackie is my Twitter, where I post all my decks, all that kind of stuff.
Awesome.
Obviously, my channel, where I stream regularly. And great to be on the show permanently.
Yes.
It's good.
Yeah, you're starting to get it. Relaxed. Oh, kind of
shout out to Paige Karma, as ever. Helping us live the dream.
Yeah, both of these guys here. That's right. Yeah, FTK. Exactly. Allie, you want to do some shout outs?
Yeah, so just twitch.tv/AliStraza, if you can spell Straza correctly. A lot of people spell it wrong, but so I stream Monday through Friday, 8 to 2, and my Twitter is FTK_Ali as well. So yeah,
you can see it right there, too. It's like,
it's right there.
That's right.
It's kind of easy to remember Jackie's mine, because we got the FTK.
That's right.
But anyway, thank you.
Awesome. I want to give a shout out to just both of you guys for doing the show this week with me, and everybody for watching. I'm going to be flying out to E3 and doing a streamer showdown on Thursday at 4 p.m. on the Twitch channel. So twitch.tv/Twitch. And we'll actually be on the Twitch stage live at E3. It'll be our first live streamer showdown. So we're super excited to get a chance to do that. DJ Weed's going to be hosting. We're going to have Matt Pat, who's a huge YouTuber, and Ezekiel the Third, who's on just some of the big podcasts, just the general gaming podcast, and also Kelly Link, who's one of the hosts that you see a lot on Twitch. So they're going to be playing, and we're going to be doing just E3 like questions in general gaming. So you guys have always seen the Hearthstone one, but we have different editions, and this one's just going to be our first. This is actually going to be our first general gaming one. So the questions have been really hard to write. I have to admit, it's been super hard, like compared to Hearthstone. But I think we've come up with a good set. So really excited about that. Definitely tune in there. You can find the all the VODs for this show, if you missed any of the show, on youtube.com/ChainManV. So check that out, or any of our previous shows like last week or whatever, they're all there. And you can follow the show's Twitter @ValuetownGG, as well as myself, ChainManV. And one last shout out, obviously, to Game Coach for sponsoring the show again, and our patrons. You guys are the best. And definitely check that out at patreon.com/ValueTown. That's going to be it, guys, for this week. So for Jackie, Ali, and myself, ChainManV, we'll see you next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye, guys.